This is from San Francisco to the world, where we undergraduate students at San Francisco State University weigh in on a range of global topics of culture, economics, politics, and society. From the San Francisco Bay Area, we'll explore and learn about the world sociologically and bring in our Bay Area perspectives. Each episode will be hosted by a new set of thinkers, and it'll surely give you a sense of what our global city has to offer the world. Hi, I'm Sean.
I'm Jess.
I'm Jaleesa.
On this episode of From San Francisco to the World, we are your hosts, and we'll be discussing how global travel has been impacted by COVID, more specifically, the cultural values that underpin different countries' reactions to the pandemic, and how different communities in the U.S. are coping with it.
In the Globalization Reader, Frank Lechner and John Bowley states that globalization is a process where more people around the world become connected by doing or experiencing the same sort of thing. However, the author cautions that within this process, new connections entail new risks, and that catastrophic world events in the past have showed us that global connections can be broken and that our shared awareness can be put to the test. Such is the case with the current global pandemic that the whole world finds itself in today, the coronavirus epidemic, and more specifically, the impact it is having on those traveling globally. In her article, The Impact of Coronavirus on Travel-Related Industries, author Elise Van Dyke said that the coronavirus has changed the lifestyle of people all around the globe. She said that people were avoiding travel, and this was either by choice or due to government restrictions. During the epidemic, international travel has stopped altogether, with many countries all around the world initially implementing airport screenings and border control measures to try to contain the spread of the virus. Elise also reported that as of March 31st, 2020, the United States was placed under a global level 4 health advisory, an advisory from the State Department that urges all U.S. citizens to avoid international travel. As a result, airlines have faced significant changes in flight occupancy because the number of people traveling worldwide have abruptly decreased. So, Jess, how have global cultures reacted to the pandemic?
Hey, Sean. So while the coronavirus pandemic is a global issue that has impacted every country, not every country has had the same reactions or outcomes. Major factors like demographics, economic systems, and health system capacity have been identified as accounting for a lot of the global disparities in COVID health outcomes. But I want to talk about some factors that have been overlooked: cultural attributes and individuals' behavioral responses based on these cultural attributes. I read a really interesting research paper by Asigal Ehrman and Mike Medeiros entitled Exploring the Effects of Collective Cultural Attributes on COVID-19-Related Public Health Outcomes. They conducted a huge study involving data from 73 countries, of which represents 93% of confirmed cases and 96% of associated deaths in the world. So it's a really good representation of the countries most impacted by COVID. They collected data on cultural characteristics of countries using the Hofstede model, which is, in their words, a well-accepted and frequently used method for evaluating sociocultural variation between countries. And they use that data in conjunction with test positivity rates, case fatality rates, and mortality risk, this being the number of COVID attributed deaths per 1,000 population. They found that cultural attributes do account for some of the global disparities in COVID health outcomes. And I want to call these attributes values, cultural values. Now, something that comes to mind right away is that an underlying knowledge of this study is that cultural values differ greatly, noting that during the crisis, different nations have taken quite divergent approaches. The researchers argue that, quote, attitudes of the general population towards the crisis at large and the public compliance with behavioral recommendations exhibit considerable degree of variation. So this opposes the idea of cultural homogenization or synchronization taking place. And it reminded me of John Tomlinson's writing, Cultural Imperialism. He discusses in relation to the globalization of the American show Dallas, that the some 90 countries that were consuming the show were not being brainwashed into subscribing to American values. But for many viewers, even in the US, it was just a guilty pleasure show or something that people watched to know where they stood in relation to it and would overtly disagree with the values held by the characters. So Tomlinson used this example to argue that cultural differences remain and that there are still strong differences in cultural values, even with the increased globalization of culture and cultural imperialism by the West.
Hey, Jess, how does travel tie into this?
Yes, so when we talk about travel during COVID, we're talking about a huge mandatory halt on most traveling globally, right? This wasn't just up to each individual to choose to not travel, but sweeping national and state level regulations and guidelines around the world. Some countries totally locked down and didn't allow anyone in, others didn't. Different countries had different quarantine measures for travelers or testing procedures and more. So I'm arguing, and Ehrman and Medeiros imply, that cultural values are in part accountable for these different travel regulations, as well as how individuals within a culture adhere or don't adhere to guidelines and health recommendations. So if we take, for example, the US, America didn't lock down the country, right? Tons of Americans traveled all over the US throughout the pandemic. More so this year and like during the holidays, not as much in the first few months, but also some outside the US. Some traveled outside the US to wherever they could as well. For example, like Mexico didn't really close down a lot. And during the holiday season, millions of Americans took unnecessary trips. And at that time, we reached a point where one in every 1,000 Americans had died of COVID. I also read that of all country level determinants, international travel had the biggest impact on COVID death rates during the first wave of the pandemic. So also, if you look now at TSA.gov, about 1.5 million, give or take, Americans are traveling each day, going against guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that says even fully vaccinated people should still avoid travel because they can still spread it. So I also saw pictures, I don't know if you guys did, of like huge crowds of spring breakers in Miami again this last month. So people aren't traveling because it's safe. 500 to 1,000 Americans are still dying from COVID every day, which is around the same as last June or October. We, along with the UK, are among the top handful of countries with the highest COVID death rates in the world. So these realities, I think, are partly shaped by our cultural values, which inform public policy, national guidelines, and recommendations, and individual behaviors. So as Ehrman and Medeiros explain, one definition of culture is a set of norms or common values shared by a defined group of individuals, and cultural factors have consistently been shown to either directly affect or moderate a large variety of behavioral phenomena. Given this, they insist that it's reasonable to expect that various cultural values influence the outcomes of a pandemic, such as outcomes that are dependent on social compliance to broad and varied behavioral strategies, like not traveling, social distancing, wearing a mask. So let me talk about a little bit about the cultural values on the Hofstede scale from the research and what themes emerged from the study. So there are six cultural dimensions in the model, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to talk about four that they found were statistically significant in shaping COVID outcomes. So those were individualism versus collectivism, uncertainty avoidance, long-term versus short-term normative orientation, and indulgence versus restraint. So they found that countries with higher individualism, long-term orientation, uncertainty avoidance or indulgence, after accounting for other important variables, correlated with higher fatality outcomes. Before looking at the study, I assume that individualism would be correlated with more traveling during COVID and higher death rates. So I want to talk about this one first, because I was right. The study states that, quote, many European and Anglo-American countries tend strongly toward individualism, whereas Asian countries display more collectivist attitudes. Individualism has often been equated with neoliberal socioeconomic policies that tend to undermine social welfare and lead to weak collective protections. Individualist attitudes may more broadly lead to social behavior that focuses on the individual rather than the collective well-being. For instance, collectivist societies have been shown to be more effective in reducing the transmission of pathogens during outbreaks versus individualistic ones. Likewise, individuals from more individualist countries on the Hofstede dimension have also been shown to have lower vaccination intentions. Later, they bring up, end quote, later they bring up another study that found that individualist countries implement less stringent measures to combat COVID-19, which also leads to less behavioral modifications aimed at curbing the pandemic. Another study showed that individualism can undermine pro-social behavior as it is linked to lesser mask usage and social distancing practices. I think all of these tie into travel because I think individualism in our country or the UK leads to less strict travel and quarantine guidelines. And also individuals who are more prone to individualism, especially white and more economically privileged Americans, may be traveling more within the US or maybe to Mexico or anywhere else that they could get around restrictions. Just to talk about one of the other like cultural values, I'm not gonna talk about all of them, so it'll take forever, but indulgence also had an association with fatality outcomes, which South and North American countries and North European countries tend toward. It's said that indulgent societies are more extroverted and place a greater emphasis on leisure. So I think this could obviously tie into travel as well and social distancing, because a study in 2020 showed that people within indulgent cultures are less likely to respect authority measures aimed at curbing the COVID-19 crisis. To kind of do like a last comparison, North America and the UK are the top countries regarding COVID deaths, and these deaths are somewhat correlated to them being more individualist and indulgent societies. On the other hand, most Asian countries like China, India, Japan, Thailand, and the Philippines, as well as Russia, are more restrained and value collectivism, and their COVID mortality risks are among the lowest. So of course, again, it's important to emphasize that non-cultural factors like the amount of hospital beds or like the economic state of a country play a greater role in explaining much of the global variabilities in fatalities. But this study shows that cultural values have some impact and should be considered in policy approaches. So I just went through kind of a more macro global level analysis of cultural values and how that has shaped different countries' reactions to COVID. Now, Julissa, I think you are going to do kind of a more micro level and focus a little more on reactions in the US, right?
I am now going to talk and touch base on how different cultures are coping with the pandemic. One thing that many cultures all have in common that they're all trying to cope with is the issue of receiving back their funds from flights, packages, and more things that many people did not think to cover. Recent studies from an article, Impacts of COVID-19 on Global Tourism Industry, states that many travelers from all over the globe did not take into account the possibilities of these crises and risks occurring to their plans and are now all struggling, while still trying to cope that they have no money they invested all these trips in may be gone. This ties into traveling because on top of people already having to deal with the issues that COVID has given us as our health issues, money issues, they now have to deal with finding a way to get all their funds back in order to provide not only for themselves, but their families. Adding on to that, the fact that we are going through a global pandemic and others are already having the burden of figuring out their financial ability, many different cultures have had to strategize on how income is going to be brought up and taken care of due to this crisis. In recent research, in the article, Culture Dictates How We Cope with COVID-19, states that three professors are touching on how certain cultures have been trying to get past this pandemic. The three professors that are stated are Professor Guan, Professor Deng, and Professor Zhao. Sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm really not too sure. But they indicate that the culture plays a key role in shaping the way people cope with the stress that their work has caused due to the pandemic. These studies prove that countries value individualism. The countries that value this are UK, America, and Australia. This will direct their attention more to stressors closely related to their personal career development, such as job insecurities, working from home, and new career opportunities. This plays out all this way due to the fact that the culture of these countries are so embedded with independency and individualism that allow their mindset to guide their behavior, while on the other hand, the cultures that work to have a collectivistic culture, such as Japan and China, allow their attention to go beyond issues related to work, and instead try to participate in groups and organizations and social networks. Branching off what just said about the individualism, this has a lot to do with travel and why a lot of people are still struggling with trying to travel and getting rid of this pandemic. A lot of the problem is because people that focus more on individualism, all they want to do is go out and travel. They don't really care for other people's opinion. All they care about is themselves and what makes them happy. On the other hand, we have the collective side. Those people worry more about their community, more about helping their people and trying to fix the situation rather than focusing on themselves and what they can do to make their day better in that moment.
So what reading from this unit relates to this?
In a recent reading from the class, Arpadari talks about many things, one being ethnoscapes. The way he talks about this is the landscape of persons who constitute the shifting world in which we live in. An example being tourists. These people go through society experiencing the new emotions. Arpadari also mentions how persons and groups deal with the realities of having to move or wanting to move. This relates to how different cultures are coping with not being able to travel because it is proven that people constantly want to be moving and want to be exploring new things. Although this has all come to a standstill worldwide for traveling global cultures and people. These people have to cope of not being able to move or experience new emotions due to the COVID-19 outbreak. And something I wanted to leave our listeners on is since traveling was very beneficial to people's just well-being, what do you guys think by having people constantly move or visiting new places and or people is a system that compares to networking with each other within different environments?
So in conclusion, during the epidemic, international travel has stopped altogether, with many countries all around the world initially implementing airport screenings and border control measures to try to contain the spread of the virus.
And while major factors like demographics, economic systems, and health system capacity account for more of the global disparities in COVID health outcomes, cultural values like individualism or collectivism and people's behavioral responses based on these cultural values have been shown to have some impact as well. These values have informed country-level regulations in travel as well as individuals' choices to adhere to or ignore public health recommendations. These differences in cultural values that remain around the world during a simultaneously experienced common health crisis show that cultural imperialism has not really caused cultural synchronization. The norms and common values that underpin people's lives from different cultures continue to vary, even in this increasingly globalized world.
Due to the COVID-19 outbreak, it takes time for travelers to return to their old mobility, even after the crisis has come to a halt. People are affected by the environment of fear, anxiety, and insecurity for a long time. The outcome of this led to people being comfortable and accustomed to staying still and local. Thank you for listening and joining. From San Francisco to the world, I'm Jaleesa.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Sean.
We hope you learned something new. Play the next episode to come with us on our next destination.